Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Signature Symphony's next concert features the winner of a prestigious competition designed to provide better opportunities for outstanding classical musicians from underrepresented groups. Ruben Rangel is the winner of the Sphinx competition. This talented 23-year-old violinist from Venezuela won the 2018 competition. He's also won the Cleveland Institute of Music Concerto Competition and the Juan Bautista Plaza National Violin Competition of his native Venezuela. Here he is playing the music of Saint-Saëns from his prize-winning performance at the competition in Detroit. That's my guest today, violinist Ruben Rangel. As the Sphinx Competition laureate, he's making appearances with the Philadelphia Orchestra, the Houston Symphony, the Vermont Symphony, the Brevard Festival Orchestra, and Saturday night with the Signature Symphony, playing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. The orchestra will also be performing Amy Beach's Gaelic Symphony for St. Patrick's Day and National Women's Month. The concert takes place this Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Vantrees Pace at TCC Southeast Campus. And Ruben Rangel is my guest today. Ruben, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich, for having me here.
And congratulations on this appearance with Signature. This has been an incredible year for you since winning the Sphinx competition a year ago.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed this year so much, and I'm so happy to be here with you all sharing amazing music by the concerto by Tchaikovsky. It's super exciting to be here, and I can't wait for the concert.
You know, you're only 23 years old. If you decide to pursue a solo career your whole life, this will be a piece you'll be playing your whole life.
Absolutely. This is actually my second time I'm going to be performing it with orchestra. The first time was, I was super young. I was 16 when I did it. But yeah, it's such a legendary piece. I mean, every major orchestra probably plays it every year. They have, I mean, every soloist tours with it everywhere. And I love the piece, so it's a luxury that I would, you know, be able to perform it more often.
So you said you did it when you were 16, now you're coming back to it 23. I would assume you have some new insights on the piece since then.
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, when I was 16, that's exactly when I went to college. So I guess my vision on the piece and my interpretation has been greatly influenced by you know, my knowledge and learning process these last few years. Absolutely. I have a different view on it, and I'm very excited to put that process into the project itself for this week.
This is a piece with a concerto that has three incredible melodies.
Yeah.
I mean, at least three incredible melodies. What do you bring to the piece? Where do you begin on a piece like this?
For a piece, specifically this one, I think of Tchaikovsky as a great ballet composer. So a lot of my approach to the piece comes from that viewpoint. I try to basically imagine how would I play this if I was in the pit, and how does this music fit with a great ballet on stage? And I think a lot of, I mean, it's so convincing once you go through that process. And, you know, I try to tie all the things together that are going to make the music that convincing. And a lot of it is singing also. So many of the melodies in the concerto are so lyrical, so beautiful. So I try my best to communicate that and to sing through the violin.
It's interesting you think of it as a dance piece in a way. Mm-hmm. Because when you think of the first movement is almost like a stately, you know, it's almost yes. like the court coming. I mean, that would be the image I would have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess it's important to the performer to kind of imagine something, a specific narrative, which can be different for everybody. Absolutely.
Is that something you do with the Tchaikovsky piece, or is that something you try to do with all of the pieces you play, a narrative of some sort?
I would love to do that with all the pieces I play. Of course, some are more certain, more specific in a way. Some are more abstract in the image and the narrative that I try to bring to it. But yeah, I think it helps a lot as a performer and, you know, in my process of connecting with the audience and making sense of the piece. It does help a lot to do that process of imagination and creativity, attaching kind of some specific meaning to the piece.
You've had some great teachers over the last 6 years or yes. 7 years. And I assume a lot of that has been in preparation for competitions. You've been doing a number of competitions, including the Sphinx. How have your teachers helped shape that conception?
I've been super fortunate to, enjoy the teaching and the guidance of such amazing teachers. I think the most inspiring things about studying with these teachers is the way they kind of internalize music. I mean, it's inspiring to kind of follow the specific perspective that they have on music. They, of course, try to transmit to me kind of that love for music, that love for singing, the kind of the meaning behind all of it. And of course, you have the technical aspects that they're going to focus on to help me communicate that music. But yeah, a lot of it is in the process of that learning to connect with the audience, to make sense of the music. And I've loved their teaching and their guidance.
Now, you're a native of Venezuela.
Yes.
You grew up, and when Americans think of a young, very talented Venezuelan musician, we automatically think, oh, you went through El Sistema. And that's a little true, but not really the case.
Right, exactly. I did go through El Sistema. I started there when I was about 3 years old, and I was actually only in El Sistema for about 3 years. So by the time I was six, I was at another school. In Caracas also, that also shares most of the teachers, actually, that teach in El Sistema. I was with a teacher, Ivan Perez. He was younger back then, but he did start teaching very young. And I was very fortunate that he kind of was passionate about investing his time and kind of very generous with the way he taught. I mean, he's one of the best musicians I know, honestly.
Were you a natural talent at 6 years old at this point, or was he still taking you through basic exercises?
Of course, he was still taking me through basic exercises. An amazing thing about his teaching with me was that he would devote his time daily. Actually, he would give me lessons daily,
wow.
5 times a week. You know, which I've never heard of that anywhere else. You know, with any other teacher. So he was basically helping me practice through those days, you know what I mean? And it was an incredible, I owe everything to him, you know?
So he was, by having daily lessons, basically he was showing you how to practice.
Yeah, and he was guiding me.
And how to work through problems in a creative practice way, which a lot of times musicians don't learn until much later, like in their teenage years, or sometimes even when they go to college.
Yes, absolutely. I see it as a process that was kind of inherently, I was kind of inherently doing it without like me knowing what was happening. Of that learning process was quick and you know, no pain in it. I didn't know that I was kind of learning such valuable things in music.
Now, were you performing at a very young age?
Every now and then, yeah. I mean,
but,
I guess...
But not anything like you weren't performing with a symphony when you were seven
no,
or eight or
no,
something.
No, not like that. But of course, you have to go through the practice of performing, you know, even small concerts or practice runs in at school. Something unique about the school that I went to, it's called the Emil Friedman School in Venezuela. I think it's one of the, actually the best schools in the country. And something that makes it unique is that it has a conservatory in it, right? So you'll have the regular academics, like in any high school, let's say. And then at the end of that, you have orchestra, you have lessons, you have, I mean, they have 6-7 orchestras, something like that, which is something, a great combination. And I think they have an amazing philosophy of teaching and making an individual integral in a lot of areas. And they do sports, they do music, they focus on a lot of things like that.
So it's a conservatory, but it's also developing a more broader range of interest than just music.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I understand your family was a big influence on you. You were playing an instrument before you even started El Sistema, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes. My dad, he's a Venezuelan folk musician. He plays traditional Venezuelan music. And I actually grew up playing some of those genres as well, which I still enjoy and do my best to keep exploring. And it's such an awesome combination, I think, to have as my artistic kind of profile.
Would you play a violin in that setting, or were you playing other instruments?
Violin mostly. Uh-huh. I would sit at the piano and accompany my dad, for example. I never took lessons, you know, officially, mm-hmm. but I did learn things about harmony, things about collaboration, just sitting at the piano like that. My sister also plays violin. She's older, 4 years older. So, you know, it was definitely a musical house, which I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah. It sounds like you've kept up with the Venezuelan folk music, and I think you've actually done some exploration into jazz at times. Have your teachers encouraged that or discouraged that?
They've absolutely encouraged it.
Really? I mean, a lot of teachers say, no, you got to do one thing and you got to do it really well.
You're right. I think most of my teachers realize the value of diversity in it as an artist. Yes, for me personally, I value a lot the fact that I can kind of draw inspiration from these genres and apply it to the rest of them.
Is there something you can say from Venezuela folk music? I mean, I would assume if you're playing something from South America, mm-hmm. or some Latin American composers, maybe there's something, but can you translate that to European music?
I think you can. A lot of South American music comes from European music, even.
Yeah. It was Spanish, yeah.
Right, absolutely. So I think for me, like generally, what I take, what seems very helpful is to have an approach that is not kind of single-minded, but an approach that is going to be rich based on different perspectives. So kind of being in different genres and having experienced the Venezuelan genres and the jazz and the classical, many styles in the classical, gives me a varied approach to music in general, which I will apply kind of to everything I play.
So let me maybe put that into, say, the very dance-like sense of Tchaikovsky at mm-hmm. times. You know, Latin American and especially Venezuelan folk music is dance music at a lot of times.
Yes.
You can take that approach in.
Absolutely. Something in specifically in the Tchaikovsky Concerto, the third movement has a lot of Russian dances and Russian tunes like that. It's great to have that approach from Venezuelan dances specifically. Something also that I have fun with a lot is improvising in Venezuelan music and jazz, which is, of course, the process of creating in the moment, going with your ideas in the moment, spitting out notes that come to you. In that process of creativity, kind of instantaneous in-the-moment creativity, I can sense a little bit of the urge to write something down. So when I do study music that has been written down, I come from that perspective and that experience of myself being someone that improvises, someone that creates. So I can establish that connection, that kind of direct connection to creativity, to composition, improvisation, which is very valuable.
My guest today is Ruben Rangel. He is a violinist and winner of the 2018 Sphinx competition, which is, I think, the top competition for African-American and Black and Latino classical musicians. It's an amazing competition. We want to hear about it in a moment. He'll be playing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto Saturday night with this signature symphony and a program that will also include the Amy Beach Symphony, the Gallic Symphony. And he's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you were talking about the third movement of that. This is a piece, I think, that it's funny. When you have a very young player, the tempos are going to be very fast on this thing. It's like it's hell for leather. Is that the approach you take? Or and I notice when musicians get older, it slows down just a tiny bit. And there's other things that are brought out. How do you approach that third movement?
Hopefully I can make a combination of those things. Of course, we strive for maturity in our playing, in our artistry. But of course, we are young people, and we want to be energetic and have that come through and have that be the personality of our version of the piece. So, you know, At times I'll be an older person. At times I'll be younger. Why not?
Well, you know, who do you listen to for guidance on that particular movement? Is there a particular artist that you like to hear and say, that's the way to play it?
Of course. There are a few. I mean, so many great violinists out there. Itzhak Perlman is one of my has one of my favorite versions of it. Joseph Silverstein, the late concertmaster of the Boston Symphony. It's such a great musician. Victoria Mulova, another great player. There are so many amazing versions out there.
Why don't we hear a little bit of the Tchaikovsky played by Perlman then?
Absolutely. Okay.
So here's the music from the finale of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto played by Itzhak Perlman, which Ruben Rangel will be playing Saturday night with the Signature Symphony. Music of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, which will be played by the Signature Symphony, and my guest today, Ruben Rangel, the violinist and winner of the 2018 Sphinx competition. Tell us a little bit about this competition. I never heard of it, but once I learned about it, it's an amazing. It's so overdue in the classical world in the United States, I would say. It's basically devoted to people of color, Latino, musicians, a solo competition. There's looks like there's a chamber music arm. There is a professional orchestra that comes together and does concerts as the Sphinx Symphony Orchestra. Tell us a little bit about this competition.
Absolutely. So the Sphinx organization is a huge national organization that promotes and advocates for diversity in the arts. One of the ways that they're doing that is by hosting a competition every year. This is going to be the 22nd year that it happens. And it's been an inspiration, honestly, in the last few years for me to kind of strive for that competition.
You won an award in the junior division, which is
actually in the senior division a couple of years ago. I also got fourth place.
Okay.
Yes. And last year I was the winner of the competition, and I admire so much of the mission of the organization, and I think they're doing an incredible job overall. They, as you mentioned, they do have different aspects of their work, of their mission. They also host a conference that coincides with the competition every year, and for art organizations, for artists, managers, and anyone related to the industry. And they explore topics that are incredibly important today to the artistic field and the music industry itself. And so they do explore a lot of the important topics about, diversity in the arts and how to make that better.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know they're giving you career advice. Mm-hmm. The winning the competition not only provided for this appearance here, but appearances with two major orchestras of Philadelphia and Houston, right?
Yes. They've provided me, as you mentioned, with incredible opportunities. The Detroit Symphony is also going to be in that list. Vermont Symphony, I went on tour with them. Some chamber music that came after that with Pamela Frank, Timothy Eddy, Gilbert Kalish, some of the amazing, amazing mentors. And yes, they do provide super important guidance as a young string player and as a young soloist to for my career, basically. I recently did a program in New York at the APAP conference, which is a conference for artists, managers, and people in the industry. So they have a special program that is kind of, the purpose of the program is for young and up-and-coming artists to kind of nail down all the details about their career, about their kind of where they're directing their efforts and what makes them their artistic profile unique and how to go about that, how to kind of make the most of your career. It was a kind of a few days, 4 days, 5 days of intensive 12-hour days of studying and basically conversations with people in the industry. That was super helpful. So things like that, absolutely.
So earlier when I said you're 23 years old, I mean, you could go in all sorts of directions. I know you had a chamber music group that was pretty successful. You were winning awards with that young chamber music group. I assume that was when you were in Cleveland at the mm-hmm. Cleveland Institute. You could go the chamber music route. You could go the solo route. You could join an orchestra. If that's, you know, where, do you have an idea of what you want to do at this point, or is you're going full speed with a solo career?
I think, especially these days, most of our careers are going to be diverse. I mean,
all
of the above. Exactly. Yeah. We're going to be playing chamber music, which I absolutely love. We're going to be teaching. I play some viola. I'll definitely be playing viola. I have an interest in conducting, so I might be conducting, who knows, you know? And I absolutely also love being in an orchestra, so all of the above, I would say.
Now, winning this competition has given you entrees into playing with some major orchestras and, you know, first appearances with a number of orchestras. But you're of the age where, are you going to continue on the competition circuit, you know, the big ones like the Tchaikovsky competition or things like that, or are you really going ahead with your career?
I think it is probably a good idea to keep doing competitions. If you happen to be successful in the competitions or you know, maybe not win it, but be in the top, in the finals at least, it gives you such great visibility, basically, for the world, for anyone that would be interested. And even if that day you didn't happen to win first prize, it's gonna give you a lot of opportunities that are gonna be coming from that. So I do plan to continue on the competition circuit, let's say. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing you play the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto Saturday night with a signature. What are some of the other big important dates you have coming up over this next? I assume at some point graduation from Rice, right?
Exactly. I am graduating this May.
This will be your master's degree.
Absolutely. Yeah, which I'm looking forward to. I'm also auditioning. I did audition for other programs, the artist diploma programs to start in the fall. So we'll see where I end up.
So really, you're continuing your study at this point.
Yes, yeah. I do value my, you know, the time to explore kind of the pieces and the repertoire and my artistry and the violin playing itself from, I mean, such amazing teachers. So hopefully I can you know, keep going with that. And some of those important dates you were talking about, the Detroit Symphony is coming up. I'll be also soloing at the Brevard Festival. I'm looking forward to both of those a lot. There's some chamber music coming up. I'll be going back to Sphinx for an appearance at their Medals of Excellence ceremony in Washington. Those are a couple of things in these coming months. So I can't wait.
Yeah. You mentioned chamber music. You had this chamber music group that I think placed in a major competition. That group dissolved when you graduated from Cleveland and everybody went their separate ways. Do you have a group of friends that play chamber music now?
Yes. At Rice in Houston, we do get together as often as we can to play chamber music, even outside of the required credits, let's say, in school. But yeah, I mean, chamber music is such an important part of my life. And as you mentioned, we in my previous trio, we placed in at the Fischhoff National Competition. And yeah, in any time, any opportunity I get to do chamber music, I will take it. this summer, I'm also going to be attending the Music at Menlo international program, which is one of the most recognized programs in the country. So I'm looking forward to that as well. I know that most of the people that are going, and I can't wait already to collaborate with them.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with your career, and we look forward to hearing you Saturday night. Ruben, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rich.
The winner of the 2018 Sphinx competition, violinist Ruben Rangel, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be playing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto with the Signature Symphony this Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Van Tree Space at TCC Southeast Campus. For more information on the concert, visit signaturesymphony.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. We're going to leave you with music from the other work to be featured on the concert, Amy Beach's Gaelic Symphony. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.